Okay, well, welcome to our night of Beyond Breakthrough Live. I am so excited. We've been piece by piece taking a look day by day in our pre-recorded messages that Donna has done and that I myself have done a couple. You've been hearing one word a day, a devotional one word, journeying into the heart of God. And tonight we're going to take a look at another cornerstone where strongholds really gain their strength. This is an area that maybe we're aware of, maybe we're not. We've talked about the faith that we need, and we've talked about believing, but tonight we're going to go really deep, deep into a place that I have absolutely personally experienced and seen many, many, many people bound because of ungodly beliefs. We've already talked about kind of the sins of the father and generational patterns, even generational curses that could have resulted in these sins of the father. And if you, like me, grew up in a home where there were lots of sins of the fathers going on, then you probably experienced some soul and spirit wounds. And as a result of being wounded, we just naturally developed some ungodly beliefs. Before we go into this teaching, I'm just going to open us up in prayer. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. You are welcome here. We ask, Father, that you would help to open our eyes, that we would see what you see, to open our ears, to hear what it is that you hear. We ask, Father God, that those places where we have been deceived by our enemy, that your truth would set us free. I ask, Father God, that in this process, you would help our bodies to know that you are with us. You are with us. Your word says you never leave us nor forsake us. So we are not alone in this process. You said that you did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. So I declare that those of us that are on this call, and even those of us that will listen to it later, that the spirit of fear has no room to operate here. That this dismantling, we've already had you tell us, Lord, that no one gets bound up by one link of a chain. It takes many things connected together to bind us tight. And so tonight we loose the freedom. You said that that which is bound on earth is bound in heaven, so we bind the spirit of deception. We bind that oppressive spirit that has come. We bind those tormenting spirits that have tried to torture us in our mind, and we know that we have not been able to have a renewed mind, a refreshed mind. We know that it's not all rivers of living water that are flowing out of us, but that some of us have bitter waters. Some of us have roots of bitterness. And I ask right now, Holy Spirit, that you would help us to walk into these rooms, that you would shine your light in every area that needs to be looked at, upturned, flipped over altogether, or even uprooted and removed. We give you absolute permission, and we say, have your way. So, first, let's identify what is an ungodly belief. An ungodly belief, when you have multiples of them, can shape themselves into becoming a belief system. Now, our belief system, it includes our beliefs, our decisions, our attitudes, our agreements, our judgments, our expectations, and even vows and oaths. Things that we may have said like, I'm never going to be like my mom, or I'm never going to trust anybody again. I'm never going to allow anybody to get that close to me. Things like that also become part of our belief system, the structure of what our lives are made out of. So ungodly beliefs are all these beliefs, decisions, attitudes, agreements, judgments, expectations that do not agree with God, with his word, with his nature, or with his character. To say things like, I'm all alone. That's an ungodly belief. That is a lie rooted in the pit of hell, because God himself in his word says that he would never leave us nor forsake us. So that goes against his word. It goes against his character. He has not left us. So a godly belief is all of these things when they do agree with God, with his word, his nature, his character. Our belief systems, most of the time, we recite the word and we try to stand on the word. But what it really comes down to at the end of the day is that we are battling to believe the word. Battling to believe that when God said he wouldn't let us fade away, that we wouldn't fade away. When God said that he would protect us, that he would protect us. When God said that he would provide for us, that he would provide for us. But our actions and really our struggles show that we don't really believe that. A real godly belief is reflected in our actions. A real godly belief is rooted in our heart. A real godly belief stands firm in the face of challenge. So today, what I'm asking us to do is decide to work with the Holy Spirit so that he can change us as rapidly as we can handle. I'm asking the Holy Spirit to change us as rapidly as we can handle. Psalm 139, verse 17 says, "How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them." When we are tuned in to his mind, we realize that God has so much to say to us. 1 Corinthians 2:16 says, "We have the mind of Christ." How many of you can say with confidence and assurance, "I have the mind of Christ"? I have it. I possess it. It's mine. I have the mind of Christ. If God has promised us his mind, why do we draw back? I think that we should pursue a renewed mind, totally renewed mind, with every bit of faith that we have. I want to tell you something about a perfect ungodly belief. The perfect ungodly belief is one that appears to be absolutely true based on the facts of our experience, but it's absolutely false based on God's word. What do I mean by this? Maybe some of you have said, "No one loves me. I'm all alone. Something is wrong with me. I'm defective. I don't even think God loves me. I'm hopeless. I'm never going to be able to change." Now, some of these statements, while they're completely false, we think about these things because circumstances in our life have come up and made them to appear to be true. No one loves me. To be able to say no one loves me means that many people have not loved me or have been unlovable toward me. If we've come to a place in our life where we say, "I am all alone," then there very likely are more than one circumstance that have presented this as a fact. It's a fact. You're all alone. You don't have anybody to call. You don't have anybody to reach out to. You don't have, but we do have. The truth is, we do have. While there may not be another human being on earth to reach out to in a moment of distress, we have God Almighty. Every second of every day, he's our ever-present help in time of need. But ungodly beliefs are typically completely hidden from us, and we continue day after day after day living our life based on a lie. We already took a look at the sins of the fathers and some of the sins that have plagued our family for generations have caused deception, have clouded minds, have produced rationalizations and unbeliefs in the same sin areas. To believe that it's okay to overeat, to feed ourselves whatever we want to feed ourselves, not take care of ourselves, not exercise, work too hard, not have a Sabbath rest, neglect the needs of our family, even at the sake of, for ministry's sake, but I have this important ministry. Some of these things may have been modeled for us, and we may have picked up on the ungodly belief that not only are these things okay, but that God is endorsing them. See, the sins of the Father is kind of like the hub of a wheel, and the ungodly beliefs are like the spokes that go out from it. They become an extension of the sins. So when we've been sinned against, we have these things that are turning the wheels of our mind in ways that are contradictory to God's truth. Many of the negative beliefs that we have about ourselves, others, and God, they typically result from ungodly, hurtful ways that we've been treated. Hurts and wrong beliefs are like two hands that are placed together. Their fingers are intertwined and locked, and the hurts have to be healed as well as the mind renewed. Maybe some of you have experienced where you thought that you had experienced healing and breakthrough regarding stuff that happened in your childhood, and then along comes an adult, and the same exact hurt, wound, offense happens. Maybe it's actually tied to a familiar spirit, that thing has spent so much time with your family that it knows it's the perfect bait to put to ensnare you in the trap. It's worked for generations, and it's worked for you. You've spent time with this spirit. You've nursed this wound. You've rehearsed this wound in your mind. You've played it time and time again and come up with the same conclusion every single time. You deserved better. You were entitled. You should have had. You should have done. You were neglected. You were rejected. You were betrayed. So we have to unlock this hand that's become a chokehold on us. Hurts are like an infected wound, and ungodly beliefs are like the pus that come out of the wound. And we can wipe away the pus, but more is going to keep coming back until the wound is healed. The wound affects the heart. The pus affects the mind. The wound affects the heart. The pus, this ungodly belief that grows out of those wounds, that goes deep down and into our bloodstream as a result of this wound that went untreated, it becomes the pus that affects our mind. But both need to be healed. Because sins are generational and sins cause hurts, the same types of hurts tend to be repeated from generation to generation to generation. And so as a result, maybe you're figuring out how this works. If the same sins are repeated from generation to generation, then the same kinds of ungodly beliefs can continue to be generated and passed down from generation to generation. I love how God commands that we have no covenant with the enemy. We see that in Exodus 23, verses 31 to 33. No covenant with the enemy. Ungodly beliefs provide legal permission for demons to stay. Let me say that again. Ungodly beliefs provide legal permission for demons to stay. Now, we've already had our healing and deliverance weekend, so you've already had all of that teaching included. You already know what that's all about. We already know that the saved one cannot be possessed. We've already been blood bought. But as we start to unshackle ourselves, link by link, stronghold by stronghold, we see that there are these webs that have been wrapped around our lives. And through this process, many of you have already been dismantling some. We are having revelation after revelation after revelation. Things are falling off of us, breaking off. For some, it's been violent. Some of us have not willingly walked into this process. For some of us, it's been a pretty brutal process. We really have not fully cooperated with the Holy Spirit. You know, and to be honest, some of our dysfunctions, they work for us. They really do. Manipulation, control, we know how to work everybody in our circle to make sure that we get what we want. And think about what type of an ungodly belief might be at the root of somebody who needs to control and manipulate everybody. So because we are in agreement with the devil, because the devil is a liar, he is the father of lies, and we not only speak his language by partnering with these ungodly beliefs, now we're speaking his language, but we grow up these little bastard babies, these little lies that have been produced in our life. We make agreement with the devil rather than God when we have ungodly beliefs. Ungodly beliefs typically generate from two sources. We experience hurts, that's one, from the experiences of our hurts, and from the natural or unredeemed mind. If we do not take our thoughts captive, if we do not bring them in line with what God's word says, and we don't settle the deal in our heart, and we waver back and forth. We've talked about that before, that wavering. The double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. So maybe you, like me, have childhood hurts. Maybe you have traumas. Maybe you have negative experiences. All of these things make a very strong impression on us. And the lies that are formed around these experiences in our life, they become almost embedded within our hurt. And then they affect our life until we learn how to get rid of our hurts. Maybe you grew up with things that were said about you, around you. Maybe these things weren't even spoken. Maybe they were the silent things that you just picked up on the fact that people felt this way. Here's one. Things would be better if I had not been born. Maybe we believed that. Maybe things were so rough in our households that we developed the belief that maybe things would just be better if we had never been born. Maybe some of us have said, surely my life is a mistake. Maybe we've questioned our Creator about the parents that we've had, the mom and dad that I had. Surely they were the wrong ones. I mean, they must not have wanted children. My life must have been a mistake. Maybe there's different types of abuses. Maybe you've thought something like this: it's just better to keep my mouth shut and my feelings to myself. If I express them, I'm just going to get in trouble. So I'm just going to stuff my feelings. So the ungodly belief is, it is better to keep my mouth shut and my feelings to myself. Now, obviously, we can see how toxic that approach will be if we continue to take all of that negativity and not have an outlet for it, but just continue to stuff it down inward. That's an ungodly belief. Misshapen beliefs lead to misshapen lives. I'm going to say that again. That's a great quote right there. Misshapen beliefs lead to misshapen lives. Hurtful experiences mold and shape our beliefs. If the foundation of our belief system laid during childhood is misshapen and distorted, then the life that we built upon that foundation is misshapen and distorted also. We have to go back and undo and redo this faulty foundation. We have to. We cannot build. That's why Empowering You to Breakthrough was the foundational class of Women's Empowerment University. We knew after years and years and years and years of ministering, Donna's ministered all around the world, that you cannot build something that's going to last if you build it on a faulty foundation. It may not take very much to shake it. It may lie dormant for years. A couple little quakes seem to be okay. One big thing hits, no way. Put a few big things together, absolutely not. Crumbled, devastated. Sometimes the repetition of these hurts reinforces our ungodly beliefs. You may be like me and be a grown woman whose mother continues to do hurtful or harmful things, and it just continues to feel like salt on the wound. These are repeated statements. Maybe for you, this didn't come from your family. Maybe it came from peers and school teachers. Maybe you were the one that wasn't picked for the team. Maybe you were the one that everybody else got invited to the party and you didn't get an invitation. Maybe you had the dysfunctional home and you felt the sting of the shame of the family secrets. Maybe you didn't even want people to come over because you knew the reality in your home and you settled into, I'm never going to be able to have friends. I'm never going to have a normal life. Maybe some of your family stuff was out in the public and other people said, our kids aren't going to play with your kids. We can pick up on statements and we can develop statements inside of us as a child that become like our daily diet. This self-talk and other talk can become like a daily diet. And as a result, they end up becoming the bone and marrow of an ungodly belief system. We feed on it. We don't even know. We're feeding on it. It's a constant source in our life. Maybe you even have in your adult years, these negative experiences continue to occur all during your adult years, and they cause further wounds, and they cause you to believe these ungodly beliefs even more. Maybe the impact of problems in your business, in your marriage. Here's one. Maybe these ungodly beliefs or even have circumstances in your church that are presenting facts, making them look to be true. Nobody values you. You don't have anything here to value. If your gifts would be special, then surely you would have been promoted within the church. Maybe you've learned within the church how to be abusive and controlling and wrapped it in the word. Maybe some of you have experienced spiritual abuse. Worldly standards produce worldly beliefs. Worldly standards produce worldly beliefs. If our mindset has been tainted, and this is talking about the natural mind now, this is the unrenewed mind, from the natural unredeemed mind of mankind, we've all been tainted. We all have concepts of worldly success, popularity. What about the self-made man? I did it. I climbed to the top. I worked so hard. I got my education. I promoted up within the ranks. I was diligent. How much of me is in that? And how much has God gotten the glory? The world is very big on promoting the success of a self-made man. And that's a goal. The ultimate success is material possessions. The American dream, the big house, the two cars, the nice clothes. I think I've shared before, but it's worth saying again right here, that because I do prison work all around the country and because, you know, I hold hands of the homeless and I touch the dirty And I touch those that have absolutely nothing of this world left. And I have seen the power of God so strong in those moments. And I was in Illinois and I was sharing at a church, and the Holy Spirit told me to tell him that when we have nothing left, we find that God is all we need. He is all we need. He really is. But when we're distracted and when we're obsessed and when we're in pursuit and when we're in management mode, God forbid that we get everything that we want, because then we have all this stuff to manage. The verse that comes to mind is to whom much is given, much is required. We all want many things, and then we have to spend all, not only are we spending all of our time working, but our spare time, we're working at taking care of our stuff. And we have these deep heart desires that we're grieving about because we don't have any time to spend on the things that we're passionate about. Think about when you're fasting, how much extra time you have devoted. And if you're like me, when you're not eating, you're really feasting on the Word of God. So that one example right there, look at how much time is spent in our dealing with our food. And we're eating food 3 times a day. Are we reading our Word 3 times a day? If man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, are we eating the Word as often as we're eating food? Now, you may even snack like I do in between meals. So there may not even be 3 times a day that you eat. Maybe you eat 6, 7, 8 times a day. So the concepts of the world, worldly standards, produce worldly beliefs. I deserve this. I want this. This is going to make me feel good. We have to sanctify our mind fully. Fully. Not partly. There's no hot or cold here. Bondage is produced. When we give ourselves small permissions, we'll give ourselves big permissions. If we're okay to just do this little thing, then we're going to end up, don't know how far down the road, but if I make it, it's okay to do this little thing, somewhere down the road there's a bigger thing that I'll be able to tell myself that'll be okay too. It works the same way with faith. When we give ourselves small permissions to believe in God, I'm going to step out there in the faith zone. I'm going to give to this ministry. I know that I don't feel like I have it, but I'm going to give it anyway because God's prompted me to do it. And he's going to take this thing, he's going to press it down, he's going to shake it together, he's going to run it over, he's going to put it back into my bosom. If I can be found faithful in the little, I can be tried and found faithful in the much. If we can give ourselves small permissions in the things of God, then when we need to have big permissions, we'll be able to do that too. It's natural. It's our flesh. How natural is the flesh? It's our nature. It's right there all the time. But if we don't do the due diligence and we don't have a disciplined, self-controlled, now you can even have a ungodly belief around self-control. You can even believe that if you can just make it happen, this whole thing is dependent on the power of the Holy Spirit. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's through Christ that I get my strength. I can't even have the ungodly belief that I can power it out, I can make it happen, I can control myself. If you're like me, boy, I'm a lot like Paul. That very thing that I try not to do, I keep finding myself doing. And that very thing that I know I need to do, man, I just can't do it. Holy Spirit, we need you. Holy Spirit, we need you. We need your power every minute. We need to have a fully sanctified mind. Sanctified. Purify all these ungodly beliefs. Show me these places where my actions are not lining up. Because if my actions are not lining up, I more than likely have an un godly belief. Maybe you wrestle with a lot of what ifs and whys. What ifs and whys, tormented. Well, what if? What if? What if I do this and then what if that happens? What if I do this and then what if that happens? Why did this happen to me? Why? Why am I in this situation? Bound up in fear and worry and anxiety. Stay there too long and it leads to full-blown depression. A sanctified mind says, it is well. God has this. God has this. God is going to take care of me. God is going to take care of this situation. I am going to go from glory to glory. Something brilliantly glorious is going to come out of this. I'm going to surrender this, and I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit and allow the work that needs to be done so that I can be transformed, so that I can become somebody's help instead of being somebody's harm. Our families, they pass on their beliefs, for better or for worse, kind of like marriage. We inherit beliefs about almost everything. Life, politics, religion, education, relationships. Some of you, if your parents are still alive, you sit down and you go, oh my gosh, I sound exactly like my mother. Sit us down in a room together and it's like looking in a mirror. So lots of this stuff has been mirrored for us. We have a belief expectation cycle. It's a cycle. It's kind of like a circle. Our ungodly beliefs are formed out of hurtful experiences, which lead to expectations that arise from these beliefs. Then these expectations affect our behavior, causing us also to influence the behavior of others, which leads to experiences in line with these behaviors. And these experiences and these behaviors confirm the ungodly beliefs. It's this cycle. We get hurt, and we get an ungodly belief, and that ungodly belief leads to expectations. I should have been protected as a little girl. I should have been nurtured and provided basic things. Maybe I'm not worth loving. I had expectations that were not met, and in the hurtful experience developed ungodly beliefs, and when those expectations continued to be unmet, I developed behaviors, coping skills. This is where we get what it is that I spend 5 days a week doing, is cognitive behavioral interventions. Cognitive, the way that we think about something, causes us to behave in a certain way, whether we're aware of it or not. And we need to intervene. Those of us that have the word, this is our intervention method right here, the word of God. Our cognitive behavioral intervention is the word of God, is the Holy Spirit, is prayer, is fasting, is diligence to stay in the process until we have been refined, to not jump out of the fire when we feel our flesh burning. So we have to choose God's truth to renew our beliefs. As we receive the truth, we can let it begin to change our beliefs. We can begin to expect positive events in our life. How many of you, so many things have gone wrong that you say it's not going to be good for very long. Something else is going to happen. Something bad will just be on its way. I might as well be prepared for the worst. The worst always happens to me. Well, you're expecting it. That's what you're expecting. So that's what you'll be receiving. That's what will happen. This is the law of sowing and reaping, and it's now working against us. The principle is still the same. Still the same. When we have these monuments of belief systems built up, we'll have ungodly beliefs about ourselves. We'll have ungodly beliefs about others. Here are some themes. Let's take a look at this real quick. Here are some ungodly beliefs about ourselves. You may have your own. Maybe the theme is rejection, not belonging. We might have these beliefs. I don't belong. I'll always be on the outside, left out. Maybe it's, my feelings don't count. No one cares what I feel. Maybe it's, no one will love me or care about me, just for myself, as I am. I'll always be lonely. The special man or woman in my life, they're not going to be there for me. They'll end up leaving me at some point, and I'm going to be alone. The best way to avoid more hurt and rejection is to isolate myself. Maybe if you've been rejected and you have experienced this loneliness, maybe you have said that the best way to avoid more hurt and rejection is just to isolate or insulate yourself. You can't insulate yourself. That's a prison. That's not isolation. That's solitary confinement. In the terms that I use on a daily basis, that's prison. Here's another theme, unworthiness, guilt, or shame. Some of the ungodly beliefs about ourselves, if we deal with unworthiness, guilt, or shame, might sound like this. I'm not worthy to receive anything from God. Well, I am the problem when something is wrong. It is my fault. I'm a bad person. If you knew the real me, you would reject me. If I wear a mask, people won't find out how horrible I am and then reject me. I've messed up so badly that I think I've missed God's best for me. Now I know somebody listening right now has thought that. I can feel it in my gut. I've messed up so badly that I think I've missed God's best for me. That ungodly belief is rooted in unworthiness, guilt, and shame. Here's another one. This one's big for me. Achievements bring self-worth, value, and recognition. We constantly feel like we have to do to achieve. And tied to our achievements will be our self-worth, our value, our recognition. And here are some ungodly beliefs tucked under that one. I'll never get credit for what I do. Why are we always worried about that? Because we feel like if we don't get the credit, then we're not going to be noticed. And if we don't get noticed, we're not going to be validated. All tied in value. All tied in recognition. All tied in doing, trying to achieve self-worth. My value is in what I do. I'm valuable because I do good for others, because I am successful. Well, what happens if you feel like you're a really good person because you give a lot financially and then you have a financial hardship and suddenly you can't give? And now your identity, your perception of your value was rooted in that doing behavior, and now it's been taken away and suddenly you don't feel the same value. What about control? I have to plan every day of my life. I have to continually plan and strategize. I can't relax. I can't rest. The perfect life is one in which no conflict is allowed, and that makes peace. So we use controlling mechanisms to try to avoid hurts, to try to make it all perfect, line it all out, make sure that we know exactly what's going to happen, exactly when it's going to happen, so that nothing is unpredictable. Nothing has left our control. Now we're prepared for everything because we have created every situation and circumstance. How's that working out for you? It took me having 6 kids, and the control freak in me was finally dead. Absolutely no control on any given day. Now I'm a planner. I'm a tasker. I'm a lister. I have lots of lists. I feel a lot of good value in myself when I can make it and check off items off my list. But I'll tell you that more times than not, it's not an hour or two into my day before new items are put on my list. Some of my top items are bumped to the bottom. I've totally realized that everything that I thought I was going to do today. What happens when you get the call from the school and your child's sick? Well, I'm not even going to get to go to work today. There goes my plan. And we get all stressed out, and we fear what's going to happen to us. And that is a healthy fear. I mean, of course, in the circles that I work in, you want to tell people to be diligent and faithful and show up to work on time. I'm talking this tormenting fear that is, who am I going to be if I don't have this job? I'm so stressed out. I can't be home with my kid today. And we're almost resentful that our child got sick. because we're so wrapped up in what we need to do at work. What about physical ungodly beliefs that we have about ourselves? I am unattractive. God shortchanged me. He gave everybody else a nice body. He gave them clean skin, nice skin, acne-free, great personalities, strong gifts. I'm doomed to have certain physical disabilities. They're just part of what I inherited. Then we make an agreement. We really make an agreement, and we begin to speak it out. Well, my grandfather had cancer, and my dad had cancer. I'm likely to have cancer, too. What about this one? It's impossible to lose weight. I'm just stuck. I'm not competent as a woman. I don't meet my husband's needs. These are physical ungodly beliefs, and then we begin to build life upon this. What about identity? I should have been a boy, should have been a girl. Then maybe my parents would have valued me or loved me more. Men have it better than women do. What about that identity? Men have it better than women do. Well, that's an ungodly belief. I'm a woman. I think I have it pretty good. I think that God loves me a whole lot. What about ungodly beliefs about others? Safety and protection, where we feel like we have to keep ourselves safe and protect us. I have to guard and hide my emotions and feelings. I can't give anyone the satisfaction of knowing that they've wounded or hurt me. I will not be vulnerable, humiliated, or shamed ever again. What about being a victim? When authority figures have humiliated us or violated us, when authority figures just use and abuse us. What about when we're completely under other people's authority and feel like we have no will or choice of our own? But once these things are exposed, we have to choose whether we're going to take these ungodly beliefs and our flesh to the cross, or if we're going to defend our weakness and our ungodly beliefs by resisting and fighting with ourselves, with everybody, and even with God. Let me give you a hint. God wants us to choose to humble ourselves and work with the Holy Spirit for further sanctification. Our beliefs affect our identity, how we perceive ourselves, how we relate to others, to the world around us, and to God. They determine how Christ-like we become and even the quality of our Christian lives. If we're full of negative expectations and fear about what's going to happen to us, well, then we're not believing or trusting what God is saying in His Word. I want to share a few verses, and then I'm going to say a prayer, and we're going to stop the recording and take a few calls. Romans 8:37 says, "In all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us." John 10:10, Jesus said, "I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly," life. He said that. He came so that you could have life and life more abundantly. 2 Peter 1:3, His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him. He has provided everything. So we need to come to the Holy Spirit, and we need to ask, where are there powers of darkness that have ruled and reigned in our mind, where it has not been renewed, it has not been sanctified? We've been operating under spirits of confusion, deception, control. Some of us, we have a spirit of distraction and interference. I've seen this on our Facebook wall so many times. We go to read our word and we're distracted and chaos hits our house. And we had all day that was quiet. The minute that we sit down to the word, we're distracted. We have this mind control, this oppressive spirit that's come to interfere and distract. We have false responsibilities. We will be more responsible for other people than we will for ourselves. Idle chatter, fears, pride, arrogance, all of these things. We have ungodly beliefs around this stuff, and we have to tear it down. I have a question for you. Some of us have been so bound by trying to be so good. I'm not talking the perfect Christian. I'm talking good. We want the world to think that we're good. We want our parents to think that we're good. We want our kids to think that we're good. How much better is it to be free than it is to be good? How much better is it to be free than it is to be good? I'll tell you what. When we get free, we will be good. When we get free, we will be good. So, Lord, help us to be the spiritual man or woman that can discern and embrace your truth. Help us to not be conformed to this world, to this age. We don't want to be fashioned after it. We don't want to be adapted to its external, superficial customs. Help us to be transformed, changed by the entire renewing of our mind, by its new ideals and its new attitude, by your word, so that you can prove what is the good and acceptable, perfect will, so that we can follow it. Help us in reference to our former manner of life to lay aside our old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, so that we can be renewed in the spirit of our minds. Help us arm ourselves with the same mind and attitude of Christ. Help us to put off the old man and all of his deeds. Help us to put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of you that created us. Help us to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge that you have, bringing us into captivity. Help us to take into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Help us, Father God. Help us to not have sinful, unbelieving hearts that turn us away from you. Help us, Lord. Help us to not be bound by the God of this world that has blinded our minds. Help us to make our callings and our elections sure. Help us to not follow deceiving spirits and things that are taught by demons. Help us to not be hypocritical and be people that can receive truth in our spirit. Help us to not perish because we refuse to love the truth. Help us to not believe the lies. Help us to be all that we were created to be for your glory. And this prayer I will provide. This is a submission prayer for ungodly beliefs, and this one I will post onto the Facebook so that it'll be available for us. Lord, according to your word in Romans 12, 1 and 2, I choose to submit to the process of being transformed by the renewing of my mind. I ask you to search my heart today, invade my thought life, and make me aware of any wrong thinking or blind spots. I thank you that you have created me in your image and that you desire to set me free from all negative ways that I view myself, others, and you. I commit my way to you, Lord, knowing that you will establish my thoughts. As you continue to renew my mind, I ask you to give me grace to cooperate with you fully in the process of changing my ungodly beliefs to godly beliefs. I receive your mind, Lord Jesus. I declare that I have been redeemed, forgiven, and sanctified. I belong to Christ. My body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and I shall have victory today as I submit myself to this renewing and transforming process on the authority of and in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.